Welcome on in. Thrill Kipper and Bourne Show, Leaf Edition Hour. We are live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Jake the Snake Schultz. I just said prior to going on air, boys, did a 10 o'clock game with the Toronto Maple Leafs and Utah Hockey Club. You're going to have to carry me in the next 2 hours because this old guy is tired.
Hey, you know what you didn't need? A 3 hour and 10 minute match. It was done at 1:10, 10 o'clock puck drop.
But it was like watching a Jays game where you're like, it's only the sixth inning.
What was the 40-minute inning? Was that before the bat flip?
Yeah.
That felt like that whole game was the bat flip inning.
Wow. And what looked like, and don't want to quote you, but you thought this was going to be a game, and you were looking good. I got to be honest with you. You were looking good with your pre-game announcement to myself, Elliot, David Amber, that it was going to be one of those comfortable games for the Toronto Maple Leafs. I don't know what. Did you throw out a score?
I did. I can tell you the phrase and the number. The phrase was, they're going to put the boots to them, and the score was 5-1.
5-1.
Yeah, at 3-0.
Looking really good.
Looking great.
Feeling awesome.
But you know who else is feeling awesome? The Leafs. They're like, this is a 5-1 walk. Watch this. Yeah. Who gets the next points, boys?
Yeah.
And then everyone stopped playing defense.
We just came to the conclusion that it was just one of those games where just, boys, get on the bus, get on the plane as fast as you can, and just let's go home.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how often you guys did video when you played. Now, typically, I think they do it every game. Maybe twice a year, they're like, we're not even going to. That didn't even happen. You know, we got the
points. In here.
Nothing good happened. No one did anything.
But there's a lot of that happening in the last 4 weeks.
A lot of don't look at it
games. Just take the 2 points and move on.
Yeah.
And that's what happened last night.
And how do we feel about that as a long-term strategy and plan for the Maplers here? Little concerning that there seems to be, and let's just say it, guys, there's a lot of games. They don't really outplay anyone right now.
When's the last time they outplayed somebody?
When's the last time you look at the possession time or expected goals or the score and go, God, they just rolled them. They don't really roll anyone.
Yeah, if they were in a department store, we'd hear a cleanup in aisle 5.
There's some cleanup to be.
Yes.
Now, to be clear, it's the same players who have shown us in the past they can roll guys. It's a very good decor missing Chris Tanev that hasn't looked very good. There's a lot of reasons to believe they can be better than they've looked. But they have looked less than the sum of what we believe their parts are.
Like usual, our producer, Sammy McKee, does an amazing job collecting Kipper's Clippers, which, by the way,
what
a real Kipper and Bourne record was set earlier this week.
You mean yesterday?
Yes.
Goose egg, baby!
No, not one Kipper Clipper in the hour.
And we had 7 or 8 to play.
Can I just quickly go back to yesterday? We don't need to rehash anything because we're in a good place. But I will say the amount of messages I got from people and the interaction and what we were talking about, it feels like it was a very good topic because there's the equal amount of people that think we're both idiots. So
that's how you know it's a win.
Perfect sports radio topic. And I really enjoyed that yesterday. And it seems that other people did too.
Well, I think what we try to do is see different angles, different sides. When it's all said and done, the viewer, the listener, they can decide how they feel. But I think our job is just to present different things that they may not think about or they haven't considered yet. And there's no right and wrong in all of this. Mm-hmm. When it comes to Mitch Marner, it's just wherever you feel you are on looking at something objectively.
Yeah. I was saying to Dan Tavares for our show, just talking about yesterday, and I said, I think there's 3 or 4 shows over our 4 years together where you go to break and you go, everyone good? We're all cool? And yesterday there was a no-brainer. Everyone cool, good.
Yeah.
Fully entertaining stuff, so I enjoyed it.
It was fun. I loved it.
Okay, so last night, let's go to Craig Berube for a Kippers Clipper on his overview. Like, again, usual, Sammy, you collect these things. We don't listen to them. I have no idea.
We used to.
Okay, well,
before we go to Craig Berube on his overview, any guesses on...
Oh, that's fun.
Any guesses what
you
he...
Said
you can't play this.
We used to listen to the audio, but then trying to track down Kipper for 2 minutes pre-show, I was like, we're done with this. I'm never doing this again.
Okay. Anyways,
I think he said, you know, we found a way.
Oh, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to cancel this clip, Dad.
If it's a found a way.
I'd like him to say...
No good.
No good. Lucky we got the 2 points. We got to clean this thing up. That's what I'm hoping to hear.
Important things. At the end of the day, we got the points.
Okay, let's have a listen.
Well, you know, we got off to a great start. Our first period was really good. Made a couple mistakes in the second, and then penalty trouble a little bit. I don't like the calls, to be honest with you. Put us down 5-on-3 from a pushing match in front of the net. But it is what it is, and... You know, right now we're fighting through some adversity, and guys came through in the third, did a good job, you know, ended up winning in the shootout.
Closer to what I said than what you said. Right?
Yes.
Did some good things.
I thought it stood a chance for me to like it when he started off with, whoa!
Yeah.
He starts off all his overviews like that, where he's about to be like, you know, we suck. But then he, like, catches himself and then guards. Yeah. He's been doing that a lot recently with these overviews.
Yeah, I can appreciate the deflection.
Crummy calls.
The crummy calls, he's not wrong.
No.
We know that. But that's the least of your worries right now, or your concerns.
Good first as well. It's true. This is the third time in 4 games they've blown a multi-goal lead, but they're getting out to a multi-goal lead, which is something.
But... The bigger picture is, why are we blowing leads? Why can't we shut teams down? Why can't we complete 60 minutes of hockey?
Well, part of it last night to me was on the defense. I thought the defense could break the puck out, couldn't make a pass, guys getting in behind them. But the pairs got shuffled after Benoit Superman punched a guy and had to relocate his thumb. Do we want to talk about that, or should we just talk about hockey first?
No, that's fine. Let's,
okay.
We can...
Okay, I thought the D were on the hook, but yeah, you know, let's focus on that first.
And one of the conversations we had on the desk, I don't even remember if it was on air or off because it was 10 o'clock past my bedtime.
Yeah. A little loopy.
But it was it necessary? You're up 3-0, and did this have anything to do with taking away the focus and the energy, and did that play a part? And I said no.
Yeah,
I'm not even sure.
That was on air.
How did you feel?
I'm with you that like if he felt cause to fight Kesselring, like he didn't like a run he took at McMahon, felt some reason to defend a teammate, it's game 60. You're up 3. You momentum aside, you're supposed to be good enough to shut down the opposition. You're allowed to fight that guy. Like, this is not, you know, I didn't have a huge problem with it. So I think you said something similar to that.
Yeah, for sure. That shouldn't derail focus. It shouldn't derail energy. It shouldn't derail your ability to maintain at least what you've accomplished up until this point.
Yeah, it wasn't like Kesselring like beat the brakes off him and Utah was fired up and the crowd all, you know.
Well, I did. I mean, I loved it, and I don't really have any. I'm on your side, but to play devil's advocate to it, that building was rocking. Like, when they really started, and it was, the Leafs had taken them out of the game. Benoit had just scored the most classic butcher defense goal ever, where it's just like a flutter puck that maybe hit somebody.
That they gave to Lorenz.
But then flipped it. Like, anyways, it's the classic horrible goal that a non-goal scoring defenseman scores. And then you're on the face-off. Like, that clearly woke up the building. That Kesterling's got blood coming out of his ear. And he's like, going like this to his bench, that clearly woke them up a bit. And basically from that point on, they ran the Leafs for a solid 10-15 minutes of that game. So, like, I will hear the argument that it was unnecessary, but at the same time, you should be good enough to not let them score 3 goals in however many minutes.
Let's get Benoit's thoughts on the Superman punch clip one.
I think it's just on the moment. I feel I had an opening there, and I just took it.
Have you ever landed one of those before?
Yeah, I did it last year against, I think, Branson. He's a bit taller, though. It was harder.
I saw an opening. I couldn't go left. I couldn't go right. And I thought, what about vertical?
What about up?
What about a slam dunk?
So
the pitcher is an all-time, when you're retired, photo to hang in your house.
I watched all the press conferences every morning, and I watched Benoit, and I got to tell you, he'd be my best friend on the team, I'm guaranteed.
Yeah.
He's just got that aura about him where he's just a hilarious guy.
Yeah.
French guy, just really doesn't care about anything other than, you know, winning, hitting guys, like a true, like, heart and soul kind of guy. I love him.
Yeah. And he played hard last night.
Yeah.
But he's up and down.
The good news for him was he was the Leafs' best defenseman. The bad news for the team was he was their best defenseman.
Absolutely. And good news for the Leafs, Pontus Holmberg might have been their best forward. Bad news for the Leafs, Pontus Holmberg might have been their best forward.
Okay. Pontus Forsberg?
We need the thoughts of the Superman punch from one of the most penalized players in NHL history, head coach Craig Berube.
Yeah. Flying punch.
Something I never did. I'm taking notes. Yeah, I haven't seen that. I don't know if I ever seen that. Maybe years ago at some point somebody did it, but we actually got a great picture of it in the room. It's pretty cool.
What's funny is Craig Berube came through the front door, you know?
Yeah, he's not doing a Superman punch.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going there.
Craig Berube had... in the AHL had years of 325 penalty minutes. He may not have seen the Superman punch, but he's seen some stuff.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I went on record last night saying that I believe that that move, that jump, I don't like it, especially with what we now know about cuts and skate blades and Achilles tendons or, you know, tendons in general being cut. Like, it's a great, fantastic pitcher, but it's not too smart of us to be leaping.
Look at that photo.
GSP tweeting about it.
Oh, right? GSP.
Yeah.
It's not the smartest thing in the world to be jumping with razor blades on your feet.
I got to tell you, what's a better photo? Bobby Orr flying through the air or that one? That's one of the greatest hockey pictures ever.
I'm of two minds of it. And one is the entertained hockey fan in me who's like, oh, don't ruin this. You know, this is fun. Let them do it. And then
I'm being dad right now.
The obvious truth is, yeah, of course you can't do that. Like, if he comes down on the top of his feet, you know what I mean? Like, you can't be jumping at a guy.
It was an accident. No, it was not an accident. Yeah. So, you're coming at me 5 feet in the air.
I hate that you're so right about this.
I know, because I totally want to be like, oh, can you not? But it's like, yeah.
I had a dad moment. I'm sorry.
You can't do that.
God, just, like, I couldn't believe that. Parents ruin everything.
I couldn't believe my spinning heel kick was ruled illegal.
Okay, back to the game. Where do you want to go?
Oh, yeah, it was really bad. They ended up getting pairs a little mixed and matched. OEL has Carcone get behind him.
Yeah.
You know, and then another play, he had someone else get behind him. And then Riley had a guy kind of standing beside him who he didn't really take. And I just thought they weren't hard enough on Utah's forwards.
Speed was an issue. When Utah drove the intensity and the speed up, mm-hmm. I think it magnified the things that you're talking about.
Any concern about their team speed? Because Utah looked faster than them.
Yeah. Especially on the back end. Mm-hmm. That I found them flat-footed. I found them not moving their feet to make a first pass. And I don't know what the final count was on turnovers, but I had, I think, as many as 8 going into the third period.
There's way more than that. I don't like how they count that.
Well, no, I'm sorry. I had 15. About 15. Saturday, they may have had one of their worst games of the season mm-hmm. for lack of offensive zone time. Mm-hmm. And the giveaways were atrocious Saturday night as well. The turnovers were bad. They spent a lot of time in their own zone. And I think it's an issue here that I got a kick now out of great shot blocker, right? Like, yeah, they've all got great shot blockers. Yeah. All that tells me is that you're the puck's in the wrong end.
Yeah, you know who has zero shot blocks? The guy who's in the offensive zone all the time.
Right?
Yeah, Miguel McCarr hasn't got the same shin pads for the last 10 years.
And it's, you're spending too much time defending.
Yeah.
That's been their biggest problem probably for a month now.
Well, I'll tell you this. Benoit and Myers can't be a pair. They can't break the puck out. Say what you will about Benoit last night. He was physical. Yeah, he hit. He did lots of good things. They cannot break the puck out. They get it against the wall. They bang it off the glass. It gets out in the neutral zone. Back they come. So you need Tanev to make this all work, which is terrifying when you need one player this much. But that such is life with the Leafs. And I think in a salary cap era, you need to be healthy. So the pairs really struggle as soon as you're missing one of those guys.
Yeah, and like, you got to start seeing signs of this blue line getting better quickly here. We're not even sure what's going on with Tanev.
Yeah, it's been murky.
It's been
murky.
Yes. And what really should have been in everybody's eyes a start Saturday night against Colorado now is questionable for Thursday against Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going, what was the quote from Berube? It's not going as well as he had hoped. Like, you're now under 20 games of the season, and your best and most reliable defenseman right now has a questionable injury.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a good sign for a team that's thinking it's going to win the division and go deep in the playoffs right now.
No, but I mean, unless you think there's some threat he's not available in the playoffs or has...
We had the clip of the update from, I think it's from yesterday, that Berube said on Tanev. If we can play that there.
Yes.
Awesome. Thanks.
Tanny, you know, he's battling through this again. Like, you know, he's going through practice. He's not where he wants to be. And, you know, we got to be careful with this situation. You know, it's unfortunate because we do miss him. He's a big part of our team. But at the same time, we want to do what's best for the player, and the player's got to do what's best for himself.
We haven't talked to you in a while.
Yeah, that...
murky.
I didn't like that at all.
No, exactly. And JB, if we're talking about middle of November or middle of December, no problem at all.
Yeah.
We're talking now middle of March. Mm. And we're 5 weeks out of the first round here. What's going on?
Yeah.
This is a frustration all year with the injury stuff, but if you'll remember correctly, the day after this happened, we got some good news on this. We're surprisingly...
Not as bad as we thought.
Not as bad as we thought. Eerily similar to what they said about Anthony Stolarz when he had pebbles in his knee. So forgive me if I'm a little skeptical that it's okay.
Recently had a leak in my house, and they, like, opened up the wall. They're like, hey, it's just a little hole or whatever.
Oh, no.
And then they get in the walls, you know, and it's like, uh-oh.
Oh. Like,
you know? Like, I don't know why that came to mind here, like, with Tanev and Stolarz, but...
We had day-to-day the captain, then he flew to Germany. And I haven't been exactly clear on what's going on here, boys.
Yeah.
So, again...
I don't envision a world right now of any playoff success without... Tanev.
No. Absolutely. If you were to power rank the most important Leafs for playoff success, goalie, you know, but there's two goalies at least.
Yeah.
Matthews, Marner, pick your poison, whatever.
Tanev. Easy.
Yeah. So, you know, they're missing them.
So, I mean, they're off today, obviously traveling back. They'll probably be back on the ice tomorrow. Get another update from Berube, I would imagine. But that was from yesterday, I think.
Mm-hmm.
On their off day, so the practice yesterday. Anyways,
yeah.
So the Leafs find themselves 2 points behind the Florida Panthers for the division lead. Same amount of games played. Big game on Thursday. Needless to say, the division is getting very tight.
Well, is this the one where the team measuring stick games? We've had this conversation many times. Mm. There's only a few teams that can provide that out of 32, but the Leafs have gone through Vegas now, Colorado, and now Florida's coming up here. Like, they got to nail one with the A game that brings everybody back.
Well, let me ask you. Did Kelly Yarncroc move the needle for you? Do you feel any better that he can help them?
I'm a little bit more of a fan than I have been in previous years.
Okay.
But he's not a game breaker. He's not a game changer. He's just one of those guys that can Kerfoot it up a little bit.
I forgot about the Kerfoot comparison. But I call him Yarnfoot or?
Yeah. But no, he's just good enough that the coach is like, he could go in the top six.
Yeah.
But then once he gets there, nothing kind of happens.
He's an honest player.
Sure.
Works hard, skates well.
Skates fast.
If it comes in his wheelhouse, he can shoot it.
Yeah, he did last night.
But he's not going to create his own shot.
Mm-mm.
He's not going to intimidate anyone.
Might as well tell me he enjoys fishing in the off season.
I bet he does.
It's just not enough right now.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, to move the needle. Let's have a thought on Yarncroc from Craig Berube.
Clip six.
Yeah, no, he had a good game, I thought. I know he scored a goal in the power play, but overall he did a lot of good things. I thought that really worked and skated. Had a couple good chances, 5-on-5, and that line was pretty good for me tonight. But he was solid all around, in my opinion.
Okay.
Sounds like it.
Craig's a positive guy. He's
Mr. Positive.
He's saying the right things. I get it.
Do you want another one? Multiple Yarncroc?
This is about him going to the top.
All right.
Six of it.
Okay.
Just a little bit of chemistry with him and Willie, I think, you know. And I like his defensive mindset on that line. We switched it up. I know I had Bobby there yesterday, but I wanted to go back to it. I knew they were going to be matched up against one of their top two lines tonight. They're talented players over there. So I wanted a guy that has some real good defensive awareness, and he did a good job.
Is Bobby bad defensively?
I don't think he's known for being a rock.
Right.
So.
Listen,
so Yarncroc's
a guy who can be really good as long as the other two guys are really good.
Yeah.
He's a lot better when the other two guys are really good.
Yeah.
Because he can play consistently.
You know what you're going to get.
A smart, methodical game, responsible, both ends of the ice. But if he doesn't have line mates going, he can get lost like the rest of us.
Yeah. It's tough. We did some time last night, like kind of putting together lines with the perfect playoff lines or whatever. It gets really hard, you know, unless you have Pacioretty. A healthy Pacioretty changes things because you have another guy who can be physical, can shoot it in, but you don't know if you have him. So then one of on the left wing with Tavares and Nylander is going to be McMahon or Yarncroc like that. And if it's McMahon, then your third line is like Lawton, Yarncroc,
Domi.
You know, it's not a dangerous one. Like, I like the idea of having McMahon on the third line so someone else could get you one.
He can shoot it in the net. Max gave him a great pass.
Yeah. Max played well last
Like the thought that that unit came out about a minute after a power play from the big boys, and they were able to put it in the net. I mean, you got to start somewhere, but I thought it was a good confidence booster for the guys involved in that goal.
For sure.
It all comes together because Joseph Woll plays pretty well. You like his game last night?
I think it was another example of somehow the goalies finding a way to earn you points.
Yeah. And also didn't hurt that they ripped two off the underside of the crossbar that stayed out of the net somehow. That helped.
Are you at all concerned?
No, I thought he played well enough to help them secure a win. And in particular, in overtime, 2.5-minute shift for Bill.
Oh, my God.
I know. Oh my God. You know, Woll finally caught one and let him off the ice a little bit. I can't be critical enough of the way they changed in overtime. Like, you know, there was a time when Matthews had the puck 40 seconds into a shift, and it's like, do what Utah did. Change and let yourself get fresh guys out. Trap their tired guys. Now I'm going to kind of try to extend this. Willie's dog tired. Minute 10 in. He's going to back check nobody. Just go to the bench. Let the fresh legs come on.
There was a look of Willie out there.
Yeah. He stopped.
Like he was the Statue of Liberty.
He literally, like, controller disengaged. Was like, I'm just going to see if I... He actually had said somewhere along the way...
He was done. He was just
But he said toast. He was out there so long, he started to think he could stay out there. like he started to feel fresh again because he didn't move for so long.
Yeah. Of course, you sat there.
2.5 minutes, 1.5 going like this. I feel pretty good again.
I don't think I've ever seen a guy just
stop.
No doubt in my mind, like had he a breakaway popped free at the end of that,
gone.
He'd have been okay.
Like,
and that was it. You knew what was going in his mind. On the chance you got a rebound, Joe, kick it out the middle and I'm gone. Outside of that, you're on your own.
Yeah. I mean, they must have changed three times to the Leafs. You know, it is funny, but you have to change well in overtime. It's crucial. Great shootout winners. Off-speed pitch from Matthews.
Yeah. Okay. Speaking of, going into the third period, I said, between Marner and Matthews, not very good. Not even sure was credited with a shot on goal after 40 minutes. If he did, it was one.
Yeah.
So where are we? They found a way to contribute. We know that.
Yeah.
I thought Matthews came alive. Did you catch the hit, Sammy, on Sergachev?
I did, but I love our Sportsnet broadcast, but they didn't show it again. I was dying for a different replay of it because he came in and hammered him.
He may have hit him as hard as I've ever seen.
Yes.
Hit a guy.
Yeah.
He hates Sergachev. That's old hate.
Well, please play him every night.
Agree.
Keep Sergachev on the ice against
please
him.
Play him every night so we can see this where you, I thought you came alive when you hit Sergachev.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Is that what it's going to take here?
I don't know. You know, I've said this a million times about these guys. Isn't it fascinating that they never seem to get angry? Like, because I was saying, Sam, if you and I played checkers 100 times, once or twice we'd get mad at each other about something. How do you never get mad? So it was nice to see Matthews get mad.
Mike Liut punched me on a flight because I overpegged in a cribbage game. Punched! Like, what is wrong with you?
But even last night, Nylander and was it Gunther or someone had like a little thing, and it was like, oh, did Willie just get
mad?
Was he like a little upset there for a sec? It's crazy. It never happens in the sport of hockey.
It's missing.
It is missing. And so it was nice to see a bit of it
from
more
four guys.
Yeah.
Four of the big boys. But we know how big and strong Austin is. He can do that.
Yeah.
He chooses not to most often.
Right. But if you look up and down the Leafs lineup, big hockey team, big, like, you know, they're just not that mean. Their decor, OEL's very tall, Riley 6'1", 220, you go through it. They're big. They're just not overly mean. Carlo's another one now. Yeah. Not overly mean. Myers, he did fight the one day, but he's really nasty. Lorenz, by the way, giant, nicest guy in the world.
Yeah.
Lady Bing candidate.
You know when a good time for another Austin hit like that would be?
I'm going to guess Florida.
Thursday night.
You know where he's not going to throw that hit?
Against Florida.
Florida?
Sam Bennett. Keep your head up. Hammer him.
That would be earth-shaking.
Yeah.
If there's ever a time to really turn around, you know, what's been going on lately, it's Thursday night.
You're going to have to get in those battles. You're going to have to engage in them, face them. The old expression, the only way out is through. Mm, you're not going to cute your way around them. You're going to have to play them.
Very well said, my friend. Very well said.
Quickly before we go to break, I got to tell you, boys, I'm trying desperately to notice Lawton right now.
Yes.
Shaky two-game start.
Yeah, and I said this, I think, on the show. I may have said, like, I watched him in Florida, too. Good player. Philly. He's a good player. He's looking forward a little bit here, trying to find something.
The only thing that is kind of surfaced in the last little while is that he, and I think it's been noted by other people in the media, too, that he's very critical of himself, right? To the point where, I don't know yet, is he one of those guys that's a little too hard on himself that tighten up a little bit more, or can he start relaxing?
But I will say, I like that he is someone who will get involved in scrums after the whistle. It's like a Leaf guy who's willing to go into them rather than get away from them.
Bad penalty.
Bad.
Like
stupid.
Stupid penalty.
Yeah.
Mm. But trying to ingratiate
himself. Too hard.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I said in the broadcast, it's a terrible analogy, but like, the Clarkson jumping off the bench thing, where it's just like you, a guy who's from Toronto who wants to make an impact, looking to find a way, and it's like, God, just it'll come for you. You'll be...
Carlo?
It'll come. I mean, outside of the one goal against where Tavares have a miscommunication, fine. Not good or bad for me.
Nah, not horrible. Not horrible. And then he's a minute muncher. And again, the better the team can play collectively back there, the better he's going to look for me.
Yeah.
He's at his best when you're not really thinking about him, right? Like, I just, like, the times where I'm not, I mean, you're watching a new guy, and I found myself even throughout some of the games, I'm like, oh, I'm not noticing him a ton. I think that's probably
his thing.
His thing.
Yeah.
Which is like you trade Frazier Mitten in a first-round pick. You wouldn't mind a snap breakout pass once in a while, but it's not necessarily his forte. Anyways.
Nope.
Okay. We'll take a quick break.
Let's do it.
And when we return, a good friend of the show, Jim Ralph, voice of Toronto Maple Leaf Radio, will join us after the break. You're watching and listening to Real Kipper and Bourne.
The best Blue Jays show out there, period. Blair and Barker. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. All right, it's been a while since we've had Toronto Maple Leaf Radio color analyst Jim Ralph on the show. Are you avoiding us, Ralphie?
He's on.
I was on last week, Kipper.
Oh. Do you know I had a late game last night? Yeah, but he's younger than me. I hope.
I think all that's happened here is I'm also stupid today. That's it.
How are you?
Yeah, good, boys. Good.
All right. So many places we can go with you, Ralphie. Before we start on what we saw last night or even against Colorado, what we can expect against Florida, just give us your overall thoughts on what the Leafs did at the trade deadline and where you see this team after the moves.
I still think we're going to have to wait a couple. I think it's the same with all teams, Skipper and Borney, that you're going to have to give it a couple of weeks before you start to see how guys settle in and, you know, what the direction is going. I think, obviously, the Leafs have to get back to the way they played during that stretch, you know, early on under Craig Berube, where they were winning 3-1 and 4-2 games. They were handling leads well. And, you know, they've gotten away from it. And you've really got to be careful, I know, in saying this. You can't tell this to people in L.A. or Vancouver or, you know, the Calgary Flames were on the road for 2 weeks. But I think you looked at this stretch, you know, from before the Four Nations tournament to after, as being key for them is trying to, you know, keep their heads above water, which they've been able to do. But I think you saw, as you know, the last few games, whether it's fatigue or whatever you want to call it, they've had to survive it more than anything. So it wasn't perfect. It certainly wasn't pretty, but hopefully there's going to be a reset now that things settle back in and you get Brandon Carlo and Scott Watt used to the new surroundings, that they get back to what Craig Berube was preaching earlier. I mean, look at Florida's given up, what, one goal in their last four games? Mm-hmm. They're playoff ready, and the Leafs have got to find a gear to get there.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. It feels like Florida, like if you're doing tiers of teams that have a likely chance to win the Stanley Cup, it feels like Florida's deadline kind of pulled them out of it. Do you have the Leafs, like we've been saying on this show here today, they haven't really taken over any games. They don't really dominate anyone. So where do you have them on the tiers of teams who have a legitimate chance? How good are the Leafs? Do they have a good chance to win the Cup here?
I mean, obviously, I think there's a chance you get hot at the right moment.
Yeah.
And you know what? Chris Tanev's a big part of that as well. And, you know, he's not a guy that plays 30 minutes a game like Cale Makar, but he's a guy that's important, whether it's on the penalty kill or just having him team with Jake McCabe, I think is a huge part. So he's probably an underrated loss, I think, you know, during this stretch.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's a guy that you saw from the start of the season that you think is built for the postseason. You know, a guy that is a battler, a warrior, that is going to do everything he can. And I think his play is contagious as well. When he's physical, everybody seems to be a little more physical. So, you know, as far as rating their chances, you know, even compared to previous years, I think you look at the roster and they're better. I think you look at certain stretches that they've had this year, they're better. But I could certainly see where, you know, confidence has been shaken a little bit when you can't hold on to two goal leads against Pittsburgh or San Jose or even Colorado, that you've had trouble with that. So I think that's the concern right now is getting back to earlier in the year when people probably had them a lot higher as potential cup winners.
Yeah, and we did, Ralphie, for sure. And the style of play, the contributions, it really had people excited that this has a different feel of style of play that is more conducive to playoff hockey and success. So what did you see back then that you're not seeing now?
Giving up way, way more off the rush. You know, and I think what a couple of the goals last night against Utah off the rush. You know, Colorado did the same thing to them. That gap between forward and defense is a little too massive. I mean, you see on a regular basis now, defensemen looking up ice, and the three forwards have blown the zone. And they're either icing the puck or turning the puck over, and, you know, they're getting burned by it. And, you know, I know that's sort of a catchphrase that's become pretty common in hockey, but this gap control, I think, has been huge for them. And that's, you know, instead of everybody coming out together and nobody leaving the zone early, they're getting stretched out on both sides of offense and defense. And I think that was, you know, something that Craig Berube brought in right away, where he said, we've got to control that. We've got to be tough to play against and not give up the middle of the ice. So I think they can get back to that. But I just think that they've slowly slipped. And if this part of the season is their downside, we've still got to admit the record's pretty good while they're going through it.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. 6-3-1 in their last 10. You know, the one thing that kind of, I think, should give fans some comfort is that Craig Berube does not seem remotely panicked by this team. And he has seen a team in St. Louis that was not the best team in the NHL that year. He's seen them go on, get hot, win a Stanley Cup. Do you think that his presence, his style of play, should make people a little more comfortable about the fact that they're not this high-flying, possession, chance-generating team that they've been in the past?
Yeah, and I know we've talked about this before. When you look at when Paul Maurice went into Florida, remember the year before they'd won the President's Trophy, they were the highest scoring team in the NHL, and I think were out in the second round. And the next year, they struggled to adapt to the way Paul Maurice wanted them to play. They were lucky to get into the playoffs because Pittsburgh lost to Chicago on the last day and then go to the Stanley Cup Finals. And then the next year, they win the whole thing. So, absolutely. I think that's, you know, attainable, and it's part of the learning curve. But yeah, you've got to be able to click into that at the right moment. And I'm not saying, you know, you're probably going to get Florida or Tampa in the first round anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's not something you can build up to when you're in the playoffs. You've got to be ready once you get there, and it's. It would even, I don't know about you guys, it would scare me if you played Columbus in the first round, you know, the way they've played. So, you know, that's unfortunately, you don't get a chance to get better in the playoffs. You've got to, you know, arrive battle ready.
You're listening to Jim Ralph, Toronto Maple Leaf radio color analyst. As far as the goaltending is concerned, Ralphie, we know it's been at an extraordinary level, and what have you seen in the last few games out of Joseph Woll and Stolarz? Any concern at all there?
I would say there's a dip, but I also think when, you know, we're talking about giving up chances off the rush and everything, that it, you know, earlier in the year, you really asked two or three big saves at key moments. And now that's probably gone to six or seven in the course of a game, even the game that came back and won in Boston. You win 5-4 in overtime, and Anthony Stolarz probably made five or six great saves in that to keep them in at first, and then, you know, save them in overtime. So, you know, the onus on the goaltending has become more apparent in the last few weeks, And, you know, their numbers have suffered because of it. And, you know, Wall had his maybe one of his worst performances as a Leaf in the game against Vegas. And they weren't able to bail him out. They've been human, but, you know, I've always said that, you know, you look at Sergei Bobrovsky in Florida, they talk about how he's reinvented his career and how he struggled for a stretch. And he's, well, it's because every night they're giving him a chance to be great by only asking three or four great saves from him. I remember Ken Dryden's book, he talked about, and I don't think it's as prevalent now, but he talked about good team goalies and good bad team goalies. And he said, good team goalies have to make three or four saves a game that are key. Where good, bad team goalies might make seven or eight, but still give up four goals. And you can put a bad team goalie on a good team, and he's still giving up three or four goals because of his ability. So I just think from a Leaf standpoint, give them a chance to be better as far as taking away the odd man rushes and the slot chances. I got the tying goal against Colorado. Two defensemen get caught behind the goal line and a guy's wide open in front to tie the game. Those weren't happening on a regular basis before the last couple weeks.
So if this plan works, you know, if this Maple Leafs team has success, that means we're going to get success from Matthews, Marner, Tavares, Nylander, you know, which has obviously not always happened. The one concern right now is Austin Matthews doesn't quite look like himself. Like he's on pace for, you know, under 40 goals this season, you know, even if you take it to an 82-game prorated pace. Do you see anything that concerns you, that gives you hope? What are your thoughts on where his game's at?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's safe to say that the dominant Austin Matthews, we haven't seen a lot of this year, mm-hmm. where he would take over the offensive zone. You know, he would he'd shield the puck and he'd make plays. The quick release has been there, but maybe not as accurate or overpowering as before. And it's, you know, whether it's health related or whatever the case may be. And I don't know if it's a concern yet, because I think we saw a time in the Four Nations, especially the final game, you're going, boy, that's the guy. You know, those were some of the moments that he had. So, I almost think it's a blessing that we're not talking about him scoring 70 goals this year, that it's more team oriented. And I know we brought up Steve Yzerman in the 90s, Scotty Bowman comes in the years and, you know, they won back to back cups. Yzerman, his goal totals were in the 20s, you know, not right. The 50s, and 60s. So, I'm not saying it's the style of play or anything else. I still think that for them to have any success, he's got to be a key part of that. But I guess I have more of a wait and see attitude that if you know, his moments come in the postseason, because I was a little sick and tired of talking about the chase for 70 goals when you know the final chapter of the story was the same.
Right,
Ralphie. Got to ask you before we let you go, just in terms of the season with Mitch Marner, it was almost as if everybody checked the whole scenario at the beginning of the season to let's just see what happens in the playoffs. And then this past weekend, everything like completely blew up here and escalated, you know, with the report that he turned down a trade to Carolina. Are you surprised at where it got so quickly this past weekend?
Not really, but I'm going to go out and say the opposite of a lot of people have said. I think this is an incredible opportunity for both. You know, if Mitch Marner, you know, regardless of what his number is, you go to the Stanley Cup Finals and win the Conn Smythe Trophy, I think everybody wins, whether you write your ticket in Toronto or somewhere else. I mean, I think this is fantastic. And if he wants to go into the playoffs saying, I'm going to show you, you know, the Leafs are going to benefit from it. And, you know, when you've looked at whether it's Rantanen moving from Colorado, Stamkos moving from Tampa, Marchessault moving, you know, a year removed from the Conn Smythe Trophy from Vegas, you know, those things happen where organizations have to say, if we're not on the track to win, we're going to have to do something. And I'm not saying that it would be easy to lose somebody for nothing, as you know, Vegas did with Marchessault, but Vegas is still a pretty important team in the league and a pretty good contender. So I think this is, to me, that this scenario is actually perfect, that you've got a guy that wants to prove himself and prove his worth, and you get, hopefully it's not the last opportunity, but you got a great one coming up to do it. And the Leafs and all the Leaf fans could benefit from it.
Really interesting point. One last thought I have that I have to ask you after your brilliant analysis. Are you a bad analyst on a good show, or are you a good analyst on a bad show right now?
Well, considering the fact you couldn't remember that I was on last week, I'm going to say I'm...
Now, hold on. I want to clarify something. Was Kip maybe not on?
No, you were not.
I was
It was
not.
With Gordo.
Okay. That's even yes. worse. Yeah. That's even worse.
Because I was like, damn, I don't remember.
Ralphie, always a pleasure, my friend.
Now, you didn't give me the bad analyst on a bad show option.
Thanks, Ralphie.
Jimmy Ralph, everybody. Radio color analyst. So we talked last night on the telecast. Mm-hmm. I think everybody's in agreement that, like, just win, right? And
yeah,
that's really Ralphie's point, is that, like, even if he leaves with a conference final or a Stanley Cup final, I think people can feel good. And I said last night, there's always the chance.
If he leaves with a conference final or Stanley Cup?
If Mitch still chooses to leave, mm-hmm, even with a conference final or a Stanley Cup final, it will still leave people feeling a lot better.
See, that's the opposite of what he just said.
No, what did he say?
Well, that
everybody wins.
If he has success, deep, the Leafs have success.
Yes, that's right.
And then you've been saying if they have success, he'll probably stay.
That's still my opinion. But right, if he doesn't, mm-hmm, people will still feel better.
Oh, I don't know, boy. If
Sammy told me, just get the team to a conference final, he doesn't care.
I don't know. Is that what he said? If they win the Stanley Cup and Mitch Marner wins the Conn Smythe and then he leaves, I don't know if people are loving it.
I think it's if he has the most success he's ever had as a Maple Leaf and then leaves, is the nightmare scenario. The one that helps makes you, the one that you can sleep at night, is where the first round, everything happens the exact same as it's happened.
And everyone just goes for both parties.
But like, he goes deep.
This is against everything you've told me.
You said
get to a Stanley Cup final and I don't care. I wouldn't care. It would be.
Well, I mean,
that's what you've told me all these years.
I wouldn't care about anything if they went to the Stanley Cup final and they won. I wouldn't care about anything.
Including if he left.
If they won and he left, would not care for one second.
I think everybody would feel the same way.
But if they didn't win and they went deep, I would care. Because then it would be the first time that he's had success in the playoffs and he's carried them as deep as they've ever been. That's what I'm saying. If they won the cup.
So he wins the cup, then he can go.
Oh my. They can all go. They can fold the team. I don't care.
I think we're kind of close on the same page, but basically Ralphie said he goes deep, everybody wins. And
that's obviously true.
Yep. And I do believe that if there's a month and a half where this guy's a hero and fans are waving their Leaf flags on their lawns.
Get the car flags out,
baby.
It's
car flags and the horns and all of that, then people will have short memories of what's gone on.
Kipper, let me tell you my new thoughts on this.
No, I got Men in Black sticked by an assist in overtime for Canada. Like, it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much, man. I'm telling you. So, can't wait for the game on Thursday. Can't wait for the game on Thursday.
Yeah. Big game.
Stolarz?
Stolarz for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Former team. He had a shaky start the first game against them.
We're getting into earn the playoff net season.
For sure.
Three games against Florida, one against Tampa Bay, and the next 18.
Wow.
Going to be big.
Some good hockey coming up here.
Love it.
All right. Our thanks to Jim Ralph for joining us as we slide into the national edition of our program. Steve Valiquette will join us. I'm sure we'll get into a little Stolarz and Wall conversation. You're going to want to stick around for that. More of Real Kipper and Bourne when we return.